Listen to Alan for breakfast wherever you are. Download the Triple M app now.
Oh, hello. Alan here with you. I tell you, it was a big show this morning. Had a chat with Steve Butler all about the history that Winx the horse made over the weekend. Astonishing. Absolutely astonishing. Also on top of that, Kev Templey joined me from Eskimo Joe all about his solo album that's coming out. Talked a little bit about the bailing up medieval carnival. Leachy joined me as well for Out of Bounds. And a few little goodies in there as well. Enjoy the catch up. My next guest is the lead singer of Eskimo Joe. He's got a brand new solo album coming out on September 28th and he'll accompany it a brand new single, Pollyanna. Kev Templey joins me on the line. Mate, I've listened to the single. Fantastic. I love it.
Thanks, dude. Yep, I'm super happy. I can't wait for everyone to hear the whole record, of course.
Does it feel like a little bit when a single comes out, it's out of context? You're like, no, I want you to listen to the whole thing in one sitting.
Yeah, kind of, but it does make you... It's just that thing, like, when you work on a record, and especially if you've been working on a solo record where you're doing everything, you're, like, literally playing most of the instruments, you know, writing all the parts, recording lots of it, you know, you're so, you know, entrenched in every part of it that it's hard to just, you know, chill the F out and press play and just listen. And at this point in time, that's all you can do. So I had to listen to it on Spotify today, and it was great. It was like hearing the song for the first time again.
Now starts rolling in all the people comparing you to other solo artists in the country, but...
Yeah, I can't wait.
I've got to say, I'm going to do it right now. I don't know how many people have done it already. I'm loving it. It's like a cross between Paul Dempsey and Vance Joy, and I think that's a pretty good thing.
Oh, that's amazing. I think they're both wicked artists. My favorite kind of era of, singer-songwriter, you know, the world of singer-songwriters and the sound of their records is the early 70s where with, you know, artists like Neil Young and, you know, Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and all of those fantastic records that came out through that era. Mm-hmm. So really what I've tried to do on this is kind of encapture all of those parts of it but really make it sound like a modern record.
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously the Doors in there as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Again, all those records, you listen to them and they just sound like lovely pillows for your ears, you know? They're like a soothing balm.
Does that mean that we can expect this one out on vinyl as well?
Absolutely. The funny thing happened, like, as I was writing this record, I got given a record player for my birthday. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, heck yeah, I'm going to start buying records. And when you start listening to vinyl, I grew up in that kind of, you know, CD generation where, you know, you're going out and buying discs and, you know, when your first girlfriend would, you know, come home, you'd show them your, you know, bookshelf full of CDs and like, mm-hmm. Look at my CDs. And now, you know, obviously we live in a different era where, you know, you bring, you know, a hot date home. You're like, look at my streaming service, you know, all my, like, look at this playlist I've put together. So it's a different world. And it's kind of really lovely to have this like physical, tangible thing again. And the other thing is vinyl just sounds really good. And it's got a certain, sound to it. So when I was writing the record, I was pretty much imagining how it was going to sound on a record. So when the album actually comes out, you'll get to hear it, but it's like, it's got that 20 minutes per side going on. A lot of the sonics and everything of how, I know this is probably just getting into total boring nerd talk, but a lot of how I've mastered the record and how I've made the record sound is so it sounds like you're listening to a record.
No, that's great. And also, don't forget about the old CD wallet in everyone's car as well.
Yeah. I hate those things.
Yeah, me too. But it was just it was a necessity back then. Kids today wouldn't understand where it's like, pick a CD and you just hand them this binder. Yeah.
I've still got a car that where you can use CDs in it. And I actually kind of love every once in a while just going, putting a CD in it and it sits in your car for about 2 weeks every time you turn the car on. You're like, oh yeah, cool. I'm still listening to this album. And I do think that does kind of get lost in the world of streaming sometimes. I mean, streaming is amazing because you can listen to every record that ever came out. But there, again, like when you get a vinyl or you have a small collection, you kind of have to just make a really small decision straight away of like, yeah, I'm going to listen to that record again. Yeah. I do like that. I think that's exciting.
That was one of the things about CD. Like I could tell you right now, Silverchair's Neon Ballroom, like song two, you know, you're going straight into emotional sickness. Number four was Spawn Again because you just knew the CD so well back to front.
Absolutely. Now you're like, you don't even know the names. You're just like, oh, it's song, I don't even know. Yeah, it's just a song. Yeah, it's almost like we're back to the 50s where it was all about singles again.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. But something else is really cool. You're actually got a couple of dates here in the Southwest. You're going to be in Margaret River and you're also going to be in Bunbury to wrap up your big tour. This is great.
Yeah. I know. I believe I'm at the Prince of Wales.
Yeah. Again.
I love that place. It's like every record we've ever played, you know, written like in Eskies and now obviously doing the solo thing, we always end up at the Prince of Wales. It feels like if we didn't go there, the universe wouldn't be correct.
And obviously many of stories from there as well then.
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, I've written songs in the rooms above the Prince of Wales. In fact, I was doing a tour in 2014. And it was just as I was playing an Eskimo Joe record called The Songs of City, which was 10 years since it came out. So mm-hmm. I did a tour playing it acoustically and telling the stories behind the songs. And I was sitting upstairs afterwards having a vino with some friends. And I started writing a song called Hope Street, which became the main song off an EP that I put out. And then that really started the whole journey of the songwriting for this record as well. So yeah, I've written quite a few songs, some songs that have made it onto records, and some songs that are still sitting in my back pocket. But yeah, all in those dusty rooms upstairs at the Prince of Wales.
No, that's great. Well, we're looking forward to seeing you in the Southwest, mate. Thanks for the chat and good luck with this solo record. I'm looking forward to hearing the whole thing.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to us.
History was made on the weekend with one name, Winx. My God, the 26th consecutive win. Absolutely impressed in the chat. All things about it from the West Australian, the Southwest favourite son, Mr. Steve Butler. How are you, mate?
Oh, look, she was very special, wasn't she? She's an absolute Australian sporting icon now, and you only have to see the response of a trainer when he's interviewed straight after the race, Chris Waller, and he's so emotional, he's crying because the pressure is released every time she wins and he just cares for her so much. And, you know, to the people who think that a lot of these people are just training horses for the victory, I think that tells you otherwise. They care about their horses. And, yeah, she's unbelievable, Winx. I thought she was going to lose. And 200 metres out, she just presses the button and goes bang and puts them to the sword.
You're just absolutely ridiculous. Farlap, Black Caviar, where does Winx fit in line with those names?
Oh, it's very tough to line up eras because you'd have to put in Maccabi Diva in there as well, winning three Melbourne Cups as a mare. And probably significantly, on Saturday, it was actually Black Caviar's birthday, 18th of August. I know that because it was mine as well. And it was quite remarkable that Winx breaks Black Caviar's Australian record of 25 consecutive wins on her birthday. That's just not fair, is it?
Yeah, that's rude. That's
look, I probably still lean slightly towards Maccabi Diva. I didn't see Farlap, obviously, but I was actually at the track for, I think, 18 of 25 of Black Caviar's live runs. I saw her run, I think, 18 times live, and she was unbelievable the way she transformed a race course and transcend the boundaries of racing to people who don't normally watch it, which Winx does too, but oh, Winx is getting closer now. You think if she goes on now to run another one in Sydney in the George Main in a couple of weeks' time, then probably the Turnbull Stakes in Melbourne, then if she wins another Cox Plate and makes it four, you'd probably have to start changing your thinking.
Absolutely. Now the question when it comes to betting, do we now start betting against her? When do we start doing that?
I couldn't on what I saw on Saturday.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter where she is in the run. Like in that same race last year, she actually missed the start by two or three lengths and still beat them. She just finds a way to win. I was interesting. I spoke to Huey Bowman last week, the jockey, and he was telling me just what a privilege it is, and you just sit and steer, basically. But the one thing he says that is different about her is that when she sees other horses in the straight, she attacks them like no other who's ever ridden. And he's ridden some big race winners, including the Victoria Derby and those types of races. So he just says she attacks them and she just wants to win, and that's really special in her, and she's just got such a big motor. So, look, I wouldn't be backing against her, but I would have liked to have had a dollar all up on all 26 of her wins, I reckon.
Yeah, I think so as well. But thanks for that, mate. I appreciate it. Good getting a bit of an insight into what is a historic horse.
Yeah, always good to talk to you, mate, and especially good to talk about an absolute legend of the turf. The
sound that you had to listen out for was, well, it's this one. Liz heard it. First of all, through on 13-27-10. Congratulations, Liz. You're going to be going to the Bailing Up Medieval Carnival.
Thank you so much. We went about 6 or 7 years ago, and I'd love to go back again, so I'm really rapt to have won a ticket.
I haven't been before. What's the things to look out for?
Oh, the bonfire at night's really great, and with us at the medieval site, things like that. The stalls and the displays that are on are just fantastic.
Absolutely. Have you heard a little bit about how Ethan's been going? I've been kind of grooming him to have a fight. Do you think he's going to go all right?
Well, maybe. They're pretty well set up down there, but yeah, I think he'll do okay.
Metal swords, that got me thinking, but...
I hope you guys are okay.
Oh, me too. I'm sure that our health insurance really, really hopes so as well. Congratulations, Liz. You're going to be going to the Bailing Up Medieval Carnival. Congrats, all right?
Thank you so much.
Should be a whole lot of fun. Congratulations, Liz. And we're going to be doing this all week. All you got to do is listen out for this sound. And then be the first to call through on 13 27 10. I asked for, like, trumpets to sound like regal and stuff. I think they've nailed it. That's the perfect sound. Of course, Bailing Up's going to be absolutely rocking this weekend. The Bailing Up Medieval Carnival. Food, fun and fire. August 25th and 26th this weekend. Come along and cheer on Ethan as he goes to battle. It could go horribly wrong. I'm looking forward to this. The Bailing Up Medieval Carnival. We were touching a little bit on it last week as I wanted to find someone to kind of fight my honour on my behalf. And we found that person, young Ethan. He's looking forward to it. He's optimistic about it all. I went to the training yesterday in Perth, the Grey Company. They actually kind of do replica battles. And I didn't realise that they actually do their battles with metal swords, metal axes, metal mace. Metal is the key word here. I did film a little bit of it and put up on our Facebook page and Instagram at Triple M Southwest. If you want to check it out for yourself, you can do so. Ethan commented on it after seeing it on Instagram. I don't think he was aware that they did it with metal swords. So I imagine that he's sweating quite a bit after seeing it. I wish him luck. I'm sure he's going to do well. I'm just saying that. But it's going to be a lot of fun. If you'd like the chance to see Ethan compete, as well as everything else that's going to be going on what's going to be a massive, massive weekend, including over 100 stalls with food and handcrafted goods and local produce, then make sure you're listening out to me just after 8 o'clock. We'll do that cue to call for you to potentially go to the Bailing Up Medieval Carnival. Very popular this morning. You just got to listen out for that fanfare. I'd play it now, but then technically I'd have to give away more tickets, so I'm not going to do it just yet. And also, you can follow along Ethan's progress. We're going to begin a bit of training for him starting tomorrow. I've got a few ideas in mind. Of course, you can message our Facebook page and let us know if you've got any ideas. We've obviously got to test things like his valor, his integrity, his, I don't know, his willing to survive. You know, all the basic kind of stuff they teach you. So we're going to be doing that starting tomorrow. Looking forward to it.
With your weekend sports roundup, it's Out of Bounds on the Southwest's Triple M.
Yes, and Mr. Daniel Leach joins me now. How are you, sir?
That intro just makes me feel like I'm in an earthquake.
I love it. I just strum along to it.
Well, I was going to say, your guitar work is fantastic. It's come along in leaps and bounds the last few weeks. Since
thank you very much. I hope one day to take it to a professional level of air guitar, but...
Well, that's fair.
I can dream.
You know Stephen Curry, the actor?
Mm-hmm.
The Curry lads, because they've got a whole lineage of brothers there. I think one of his brothers was an Australian champion in air guitar.
Really?
Yeah.
Now that is something I could get into.
I think it's Brendan Curry, but anyway.
Yeah, not Steph. All right.
Not the swimmer, no.
Okay.
And I don't think she's related.
Okay, oh, sorry, my apologies.
No, that's okay.
And not a brother either. Jeez, mate, plenty to talk about. Where do you want to start? Local footy, I guess?
Yeah, let's start with the local footy. Look, the two big games were happening on Saturday because you had Carey Park a chance to keep their season alive, mm-hmm, with their match against Augusta Margaret River. They fell 3 points short in the end. Augusta Margaret River winning by 3 points, so they are in the finals. That is locked in. And then for South Bunbury and for the Eton Boomers, it was fourth versus third. If South Bunbury managed to win the game, then obviously they keep their chances of possibly finishing top three alive. For the Eton Boomers, they had to win in order to maybe just sneak into the top three and lock that away. But in the end, a 19-point win to South Bunbury. So South Bunbury are third spot by about a goal percentage.
Yeah, okay, percentage. You love that.
Seriously, the percentage is like 0.6%. It is a goal or two in the whole competition, which is amazing. Donnybrook yesterday just getting over the line from against Busselton to get themselves the minor premiership, so well done to them. The Collie Eagles losing to Harvey Brunswick, Leschenault and Bunbury. Got a big challenge by the Harvey Bulls, but Bunbury in the end winning by 10 points. It sets up a really, really fascinating final round next weekend. Look, Carey Park and Donnybrook's going to be a fun game. The Eton Boomers and Harvey Bulls is going to be a not too bad game. There's some interesting contests going on there. And in the Lower Southwest Football League, final round of the regular season, the sort of the keen interest was between Dean Mill and Imperials, their first and second.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Imperials... I was not expecting this. 27-point win over Dean Mill. So Dean Mill had only lost one game all season.
Okay.
Imperials, you know, they've they've always been the second team in the competition this season. There's been times where they've looked a little sort of off the mark, but geez, I tell you what, that's a big win, 110-83 over Deanville.
Yeah.
Keep in mind that these two are going to meet in the second semi-final in about 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, looking forward to that one, geez.
That will be huge. Tigers' big win over Boyup Brook and Bridgetown, too good for Southerners. It means for the finals that it is going to be Tigers versus Bridgetown next week in the first semi-final. And as I said, the week after, Demil and Imperials will still take on each other. AFL, so
yes.
A lot of talk surrounding the Fremantle Dockers and their loss on Saturday.
Get rid of him. We've been saying it all year anyway, but I just want to jump on the bandwagon.
Yeah, I bet you do. I've been hearing these calls for ages, and I just thought it was a strange decision to re-sign him when they did about 12, 18 months ago.
Yep.
It's the size of the losses, which has been made a point this morning in the West Australian, that is the more concern, not necessarily the wins and losses, because they've got the same amount of wins as last year.
They're not a wooden spoon or anything like that.
No, I think they've had 9 losses, 50 points plus.
It just, I'm not a Fremantle fan, you're not a Fremantle fan, but I can imagine it must be so frustrating to watch your club go to the promised land once.
Yeah.
And just since then, what have we seen? And I just, my heart breaks for Fremantle a little bit.
We'll find
like
out
that.
At 4 o'clock this afternoon with Cliff Reeve and the drive home. if you're a West Coast fan, your afternoon booing yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of reaction on social media about, oh, geez, the Eagles fans boo a lot, don't they? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Of course they do.
Of course they do, and they've got every passionate. Right to.
That's what happens when the stadium is full.
Well, that's exactly right. No, but like, even from like Victorian fans going, oh, geez, they boo a lot. I was like, yeah, your fans boo as well when you don't get a decision.
100%.
It's just that the consistency of it is not quite there. The West Coast Eagles fans are very good at it. They hit the front with about 10 minutes to go in that game after a shocking first 20 minutes. Unfortunately, for the Eagles, Melbourne hit back. And look, it is a good news story for Melbourne being in the finals.
Love
it's
it.
The first time in 12 seasons. They deserve to be there. They played exceptionally well yesterday. Very quickly, Mitchell Johnson retiring from all forms of cricket, which is sad news. And the Wallabies, well, they got done on the weekend by New Zealand in the first game of the Bledisloe Cup. That was just
and also a big shout out to Winks as well, making a little bit of history on the weekend. 26 consecutive wins.
Oh my goodness.
If you don't mind.
That horse.
I need some money on it, mate. Excellent. Thanks for the chat today, Leachy. I appreciate it.
$1.20, I'll give you the tip.
And what was a weekend a lot of Fremantle Dogger supporters will be wanting to forget. The question has been asked, 13-27-10. Ross Lyon, is there any point keeping him around? Social media yesterday wasn't too kind to him. One tweet, if Frio doesn't sack Ross Lyon after this game, it shows that they are more worried about the payout than the future of the club. Another person wrote, the idea that Ross Lyon is a good coach is one of the great myths of modern football. Jeez, they're pretty brutal. Alan on the line. Ryan from Bridgetown, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm doing great, mate. Yeah, it's better than the Dockers anyway.
I assume you're not a Fremantle Dockers supporter.
No, I'm not a supporter of theirs, but I think they could do a lot better if Lyons was out of the picture. They've got rid of better coaches and managers than what he is, and they're just leaving there. And he's using this, we're rebuilding. I mean, how many times can you rebuild?
Well, that is the question. He keeps saying it, but it's coming to that point where it's like, you know, we've seen one grand final, but we haven't seen anything else really from the club.
No, well, this is exactly right, mate. And actually, I think they're getting worse as time's gone by. They're slowly and surely getting worse. They're putting all their emphasis into just a couple of players, and they're forgetting about the rest of the guys trying to get them in there and that. And, I think it's time for him to go, personally.
Yeah, time to boot out Ross Lyon, mate. It makes sense. Thanks for your call.
No worries, mate. You're welcome. Catch ya. Have a good day.
We're just talking about the game that a lot of Fremantle Dockers supporters will be wanting to forget, that loss to Geelong, and what a loss it was. We've had a couple of callers so far. One guy talking, in particular Alan from Bridgetown, that we need to get rid of Ross Lyon. And I happen to have in the studio with me Adam, who does a lot of the work here behind the scenes at Triple M, also happens to be a Fremantle Dockers member. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, Alan. How are you?
No, but how are you really?
Deflated. Deflated. What a season we've had.
Well, no finals for you, so you won't even know what September tastes like, which is disappointing once again. A lot of calls out on social media saying that Ross Lyon needs to go. As a Fremantle member, what's your thoughts on the whole thing? Does he need to go?
He does need to go.
Yep.
But the question is, who's going to fill his boots?
Well, I don't know.
there's no one else. Let's be realistic. There is actually no one else.
At this current time, not really, no.
Yeah, the smiling assassin, Brendan Bolton, was probably the next big thing, but then look what he's doing down at Carlton.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. There. Well, that's the big question then. If he's going to go, who's going to fill in his shoes? But you are certain that he does need to go.
Yeah, I am. And do you know what? I feel that sometimes with Fremantle and with any sporting clubs, if stuff's not working behind the scenes, it ends up affecting their on-field performance.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff has happened throughout the year with Ross Lyon and the Fremantle Football Club behind the scenes, and I think it's just festered into the club. I mean, we got a few good young guns coming up. Mm-hmm. Alex Pierce, Brandon Matera's okay. Nathan Wilson's been a breath of fresh air to the club. Langdon as well. But seriously, there has to be something really wrong behind the scenes, in my opinion.
So as a Dockers member, do you now just go, all right, 2019, do you feel optimistic going into it? Or with Ross Lyon at the helm, you just go, oh, it's going to be another 2018. It's going to be the same old, same old.
I'm just looking forward to 2021, 22, 23. How long have we got him for? 5 years?
I don't know. How long do you have them for? Isn't it 2 years? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I think it's 2020, isn't it? Surely.
Yeah, hurry up, mate. Move really? Back to Melbourne. See you later.
Do you think, before I let you go, one last question. Do you think that Fremantle should even consider the payout, just pay out the rest of his contract to get someone else?
I think it's a really good idea.
Yeah, just 100%. Get rid of him.
100%.
Surely they'll make the money back from memberships that won't be cancelled.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right?
There's enough seats in that stadium that needs to be filled. Come on down.
Yeah, let's do it. How do you think they're going to go against Collingwood this weekend?
Oh, it's going to be atrocious.
Another massacre?
It's going to be another one. Oh, yeah. All right. Sorry.
Sorry, Fremantle supporters. Thanks, Adam. I was going to give some good news. No, unfortunately not. A bit of a warning in regards to Colombians. I thought this one was pretty funny that I had to share it to you guys as well. Our headline, Colombians urge to stop having sex because it's too hot. Can you believe it? Yeah. The health secretary of Santa Marta, Julio Salas, has advised locals to resist having sexual encounters to stay cool during an intense heat wave that Colombia is currently experiencing. They are being advised the best time to do it, nighttime. Nighttime. Avoid it during the day if you can. If you can resist and save all that action for nighttime, am I right? Yeah, get a bit of this. So if you're heading to Colombia anytime soon, just keep that in mind. No sex during the daytime. Keep it all for the nighttime, please. Please, it's what the government wants.